Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson. And Eric, today we're going to be talking about one verse in particular that sadly many Christians, I would have to say, take out of context in order to try and prove a point that we should not have extra books such as the Book of Mormon. What one would that be?
Well, that's Revelation 22:18 at the end of our Bibles. Verse 18 says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book."
Now, why would that be a bad verse to use to try and prove that the Book of Mormon or the Doctrine and Covenants should not be considered authoritative or even scripture?
Well, Bill, the problem is that things are taken out of context. And I don't believe, even though it might be a truism that we shouldn't add anything to what God's revelation gives to us, we shouldn't take a verse out of its context. And this verse is not meant for all books. In fact, the Bible was not compiled at this time yet when John put this together, but rather was a common usage back in those days of putting a curse, so to speak, on anybody who would tamper with that particular book.
Kind of like a divine copyright law, maybe?
Well, that's really what it's like. I mean, this is the mark that we've put on here, and anybody who does anything to it, let them be accursed.
Well, I think you make a good point, because it actually says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book." And we would have to assume that this book would be the Book of Revelation, because, as you mentioned, the Bible as we see it today certainly was not compiled at this time. That would not come about until many years later. But many people assume that, see, this is talking about the whole Bible. And I think as Christians, we need not to make that mistake. And I think a Mormon would rightly catch you on that if you did. I know I've had some Mormons, when I tell them I don't think Revelation 22:18 is a real good verse to use to counter the Book of Mormon, they'll say, "Well, that's strange. They always hear Christians using that verse." And I think we need to be careful about that. There's another good reason for this. If you look at the Old Testament, for instance, there are other passages that talk about adding or taking away from God's words. For instance, if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." In other words, this really has nothing to do with canon, or what we would call the measuring rod or scripture. It's merely warning the children of Israel, don't put words in God's mouth. Now, you would agree, though, wouldn't you, that Joseph Smith clearly does this? I mean, he is constantly putting words in God's mouth and claiming revelations and claiming things that God told him to pass on to the members of his church. Now, certainly we would have a definite problem with that, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely. And the Bible's very clear that we're not supposed to add to the revelation that God has given us. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he says, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that which we have received unto you, let him be accursed." He repeats that, Bill, in the next verse. And so the idea is, we have God's revelation given to us in the Bible, and anybody who tries to tamper with that in any kind of way. So while I would consider using Revelation 22:18, especially by many Christians, to support a point, I don't think we have to cheat to be able to make this point,
right?
That there are certain doctrines that the Mormon Church proposes that are completely contrary to God's word and to what we call special revelation.
Another verse that I think should be talked about is Deuteronomy 12:32. where it says, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Again, we don't put words in God's mouth. We don't start adding to things things that God did not intend in the first place, and we certainly don't diminish or take away from the things that he does expect. Another verse would be Proverbs 30, verse 6. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. And again, Joseph Smith was guilty of this. There's no doubt about that. If we go through the Doctrine and Covenants, which is a collection of modern-day revelations, primarily given to Joseph Smith, and there's some others in there as well that aren't directly to Smith, but primarily these are revelations that Smith claimed he received from God. When we go through them and we look at them, we can certainly see the man-made origins of some of these things. Most of what he's doing in these, as we were talking before, is he's vindicating himself and kind of manipulating people to do what he wants them to do. And we see that a lot. He's actually calling out people that he's upset with and trying to straighten them out. For instance, section 132, what does he say about his own wife, Emma? If Emma doesn't embrace or accept the wives that God had already given him, that she would be destroyed. And of course, we know that was a false prophecy because Emma never did like polygamy. She never embraced it. And yet she lived a long life, whereas Smith died within, you know, not too long after giving that prediction. Definitely, we want to be careful in the verses that we use, and we don't want to be cheating, as you said.
Well,
there's no point to it.
Absolutely not, because, I mean, our case is sound, and for us to have to do cheating measures to try to make a stronger case, I mean, some people think that that's an okay principle, but why would you do that? Because that's unethical, number one. I think that's the biggest thing.
Well, I think a lot of people do it ignorantly.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I think a lot of Christians, when they use this, they sincerely think that this is a good verse that tends to be a slam dunk regarding having extra books like the Book of Mormon. But you're right. I think we should handle the Word of God as best as we can and use it the way it was intended to be used.
Well, and we look at the four verses that you've quoted. Revelation is at the end of this book,
right?
This apocalypse. And so that's pretty clear. Deuteronomy verses, this is the last of the law, the last books. And so I think that makes a lot of sense. As far as Proverbs, we got to be really careful about Proverbs, because Proverbs are great statements. They're not absolute all the time. I mean, for instance, there are passages that say, train up a child in the way he should go, and the child will never depart from it. And a lot of people have taken that literally in the sense that, well, I guess that means if I train my child upright, he's going to turn out a good child. And a lot of good parents, you know them too, Bill, who have raised kids who have done everything according to what God's word has said, and they haven't turned out well. And they go, well, this is God's promise. Well, you have to understand that the context was not meant to be always, but generally it's true. Whenever you raise a kid in the right way, generally they turn out right compared to those who haven't been raised right.
Well, and kids do. That proverb that you just mentioned about raising a child, not to get off the subject though, is they learn our good habits and they also learn our bad habits. And none of us as parents are perfect. And certainly we have passed along a lot of our bad habits to some of our children. And that proverb could easily be attached to that as well. And what I often tell people, a proverb is a proverb. It's not a prophecy necessarily.
Right.
And sadly, too many take them to be prophecies. But when we go back to Proverbs 30, verse 6, I think the reason why that's a good proverb to go by is because it certainly does concur with the other passages that we've cited here. And again, it comes back to we should not be putting words in God's mouth. God does not take that lightly. He takes that very seriously. In fact, when we go back in the Old Testament, look at what he does with false prophets. I mean, this was a serious, serious offense. And God did not want his people being led astray. And if it came through the mouths of these self-professed prophets in many cases, God dealt harshly. God dealt harshly not only with the prophet, but he also dealt harshly with the people that believe that false prophet. That's what makes our mission so important to us, is we do feel that the Mormon people are being led astray by these men who claim to be latter-day prophets and apostles who are not speaking according to what God has said, and therefore come under the condemnation of Proverbs 30, verse 6, Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2, Deuteronomy 12, 32, and such like this. But even at the same time, when we go to the Revelation, and we don't need to spend a lot of time with this, but even when we look at Joseph Smith's translation, and again, we use that word translation very loosely with quotation marks about it because it really wasn't a translation at all. But Joseph Smith does make some minor changes to the book of Revelation. Now, some might make a big deal out of that. I don't know, Eric. I've gone through some of these, and I think some of them are pretty petty.
Well, one verse, the John uses six people, six witnesses and six eyes or something like that, and Joseph Smith makes it into 12 and changes it. I don't think that's as horrendous as the other changes that he makes, such as D&C 130 verse 2 saying God has a body of, he's parts and flesh and bones, and he's got, parts and passions. He's human just like we are. To me, that kind of an extension is much worse than maybe making a number change there. And I wouldn't say, well, the curse of Revelation is upon him because he's done that one change.
I do notice that in the Joseph, well, not the Joseph, the LDS version of the Bible, they do have interesting headings, for instance. In I think it's Revelation 3, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but it talks about men becoming gods, I think it says. And of course, those passages in Revelation in that chapter have nothing to say about that. I don't know where they're getting this, but...
Well, this is what we're talking about with context, Bill, and this is for the listeners, especially if you're a new believer who's trying to do Bible study. I mean, there are certain rules. There are great books out there to explain how to do this properly and to understand the context of the book, to understand what the author was trying to do, understanding the purpose of the book, understanding the Bible as a whole. And when you come to a certain verse, to be able to look at four verses before, four verses after, and to get the whole feel of that context, because this is one of the things that we find so often when we talk to our Mormon friends, is they've taken verses and they've made whole doctrines out of things that were never meant to be what they've made it out to be because they pulled the verse out of its context.
And I think if we're going to expect that of our Mormon acquaintances,
absolutely,
we need to expect it of ourselves.
We do.
And we need to handle the Word of God properly. And certainly hope that this show will help you in that. And please don't use bad passages in order to make points like that, because it will come back to bite you. And I think this is a case where the Mormons are right. I don't think Revelation 22:18 is a real good verse to support the idea that you cannot add to the canon, especially having books such as the Book of Mormon. So we thank you for being with us. We hope you'll join us again for another Viewpoint.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.